I'd like to introduce another name in the so-called great cloud of witnesses. I want to speak for a few moments about Asaph. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 73. And verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. Beloved, have you ever felt like giving up? Ever got to wit's end corner and you say, this is hopeless. What's the point? Where's this taking me? This faithfulness to the Lord, this path of separation. Perhaps I'll never find a husband. Perhaps I'll never be able to have a family. Why do I go on week after week, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, carrying the ark, carrying the testimony, maybe just with one other brother, maybe not even with one other brother, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, and others are in mega churches and in large fellowships, with the social round, with all the activities, with all the enjoyments. That was Asaph's position here. He said, I'm envious of the foolish. I look at the prosperity of the wicked. Their strength is firm. They don't have trouble. All these ungodly people, they get on with their lives. They can go down to the pub and have their pint, or go to the sports arena, or go to the cinema, or enjoy life to the full, as they think, in the social scene, in the social world, living from one day, from the start of the week to the end of the week, until they're free to go out and enjoy themselves. And here we are, exercise after exercise, difficulty after difficulty, pain and sorrow. And he even says in verse 13, verily I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. All the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. We've been thinking of Moses on Pisgah. No, you're not going to go in. Don't even speak to me about it again. We'll be looking at Elijah, and not to anticipate, there he was under the juniper tree. Disconsolate. Depressed, we might say. uncertain, unsure. We have our fainting fits too. Some are more subject to depression of spirit than others, but these issues, these things that we're speaking about, they're very real in our experience. And Jeremiah down in the pit, he must have asked himself, what am I doing here? Is it worth it all? And Paul, with what we've heard about his thorn in the flesh, people that face health issues, even mental issues, constant pain and suffering. You get up with the pain in the morning, you go to bed with it at night, and you ask yourself, why, Lord? I remember reading about Dr. Wilston, and he visited up to Shetland. And things were tough. People were poor in those days. And there were no social security and no health benefits. And no health visitors. And he visited a woman who'd been bedridden and in pain. And more than 30 years later, he went back to Shetland. And he went to that same cottage. And he saw that same woman in that same place, on that same bed, in that same pain. And he offered to pray with her. And she said, aye, let it be mostly praise. Let it be mostly praise. The moral power of Christianity, rather, the moral power of Christ. But you can understand Aesop's feet had well nigh slipped. His steps, his feet were almost gone from under him. Let's not give up. And John, as we've talked about him, alone on Patmos. We needn't detail the various circumstances of other people's lives that Asaph looked out on. But we've got our own lives. And in my reference Bible, the me is in a different font. It's not something to do with the Hebrew. It's something to do with Mr. Newbery, that he thought that this was an important point. As for me, we need to bring these matters home to ourselves individually in our personal circumstances. And then it says, it was all too painful for me. Verse 16. And then comes the answer in verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Ever been there? That's a good place to be. To get into the immediate presence of God. To close ourselves out and close everything else out. And in our quiet moments, just get before God. And then, he says, then understood I their end. You know, it's when we get into God's presence that we judge matters in the balances of the sanctuary, that we begin to understand the realities behind whatever it is that we are confronted with in this life. And then he sees the doom of the wicked, we shall say. It's as a dream when one awaketh, that the Lord will deal with things. And then his heart is grieved. at his own foolishness and ignorance and the lack of reality. We find that too. You know, if we're in God's presence, if we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes nothing of ourselves. And then he discovers God's support. We need this in order to be faithful. We need this in order to continue. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. It's good to be with him. It's good to be with God. But it's good also that he may be with us. And it says, thou hast holden me by my right hand. The right hand of power. Seen also in the Lord Jesus. And it says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. So I would say to any troubled one, to any perplexed one, to any sorrowing one, to any that's about to give way, get into the sanctuary, seek God's presence, then we'll begin to understand. And then it says, faith says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That's the wonderful thing. The path that we are on ends in glory. Grace begun will end in glory. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more onto the perfect day. May we weigh things in the balances of the sanctuary, and may we keep God's end before us for his name's sake.